Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour bonus cast. We're doing it because...
Birthday bash bonus cast
because everybody donated. They said, we want an extra podcast every month besides Drunk History. Just talk about whatever. And we told you, people, that you'd want it. And you gave enough donations. And God damn it, you were right to want the podcast. Because today, man... The Saints come firing out the gate. They were not screwing around. Andrew,
hey, happy birthday, Ralph.
Yeah, thanks.
Ralph is doing this on his birthday for you guys.
Yeah, I am.
That is commitment.
I thought you were supposed to be like going out to a meal and getting wasted.
I had a couple of liters of German beer, so I'm good to go, my friend.
Are you getting laid after this? I hope you're getting laid.
Unless I pass out, well, you know, that could put a crib in it. I want to read a text that Andrew sent me today. Let's see, at about 12:15. If the Saints get Malcolm Butler and Zeitler on the same day, I'll be gay for Loomis. That's an exact text from Andrew today.
It's true.
We were fired up. I mean, when it got to like 12.
Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm still straight.
You're still straight. But Andrew, there was a moment in there where they signed Ginn, they signed Klein. It looked like the Brandon Cooks deal for Malcolm Butler was imminent, and it was down to the Saints and the Browns for Zeitler. It looked quite possibly for like a good 15 minutes like it was going to be the greatest free agency day in the history of the Saints. And it's still pretty awesome.
They basically lit any hope of a compensation pick in 2018 on fire.
initial thoughts on what you saw. Let's start with, and I'm gonna give us a kick in the pants, because we were talking about, look, if they trade Brandon Cooks, they need to get a guy who can stretch the defense. They need to get a guy who can return kicks and punts and play special teams. And we were all like, Cordarrelle Patterson. But man, Andrew, we forgot the number one thing, man. The Saints love players they play against. They went all in for Josh Norman. Man, Ted Ginn was the guy. He was an obvious entity. He was staring us in the face.
Well, he's been a free agent a few times now. And
yeah.
they've never gone after him.
Yeah, but the Saints...
So...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the stars kind of align this time. He serves a dual function. So, you know, if Cooks is out the door, obviously the Saints desperately need a field stretcher to at least fulfill that role that he gives them. And then, you know, kickoff returns, punt returns. I mean, the Saints have just been so miserable in those departments.
They haven't.
Ginn comes in and immediately gives them, I would say, their most explosive return guy. Certainly since Broyles, maybe since Reggie
Bush.
They
haven't averaged over 9 yards a punt return since 2008. Dave,
we're not done with Ted Ginn here.
No,
look,
I was going to say.
I like the signing as a special teams guy goes. You know, the Saints definitely need a kick in the ass when it comes to, or a shot in the arm when it comes to.
How scared are you of the stone
now,
hands, though?
Well, yeah, that's exactly.
It's not just stone hands. It's ball security too.
Yeah. On return.
As a receiver, we've played Ted Ginn now a whole bunch of times in over the last 5-6 years, and us and a lot of other teams in the NFL have been the beneficiary of just fucking stupid ass drops, just the stupidest drops you've ever seen in your life. The dude will just be wide open with the cornerback 20 yards away, and the dude will fucking just the ball for no reason. And he's now on our team as a receiver.
How good does he have to be on special teams to balance out the 5-6 horrific drops he's gonna have?
he needs at least like 2 or 3 TD returns.
I don't know about that. I mean, I would. He's averaged 10.5 yards of punt return his career. The Saints haven't broken 9 yards of punt return since 2008.
He's got 7 touchdowns on returns in his career, but none since 2014.
I mean, I just want him to be average. On kicks and punts, and he's fine. Now,
oh my God, I'm seeing it now. He's gonna fuck us some in the game 1 week. I can fucking see it now.
Dave, you are fired up because you were adamant that Nick Fairley did not deserve anything more than a 1-year deal. The Saints
that is
gave
correct.
Him.
Thank you for being accurate in your reporting.
The Saints.
Earlier you said I didn't want them to sign him. I'm okay with them signing him.
They gave him 4 years, $30 million.
Terrible.
Dollars.
Fucking
it is
terrible.
A phenomenal signing, but go ahead.
They just lit money on fire. I can't wait for two. I can't wait 2 years from now when all of that counts as dead money against our cap. Because I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
I haven't seen the guarantees.
I haven't seen the structure of the contract. So, I mean, to be honest with you, I really shouldn't say anything until we know more details about it.
I can't imagine for 4 years, $30 million, Andrew.
I mean, I think we can safely assume that a decent chunk of it is guaranteed. I mean, they gave him a handsome contract.
And that's fine. Look, I'm okay with paying him guaranteed money. I'm okay with a big signing bonus. Honestly, if it's a 4-year deal, but if it was like where only the first year is guaranteed and like the Saints can void it after the second year, like then that's fine. I don't care. I didn't care how much they paid him. It was always about the length of the contract. I need Fairley to not be, we need him to not be comfortable. We need him to be hungry. It seems to me that he is very financially motivated, and so he always has to have that financial motivation,
but,
and only done in the NFL by having a player not know what his next possible contract
is. Well, here's
be.
The thing, though. And, I mean, I would think, Andrew, at $30 million for 4 years, I would think, what, like $12 million is guaranteed maybe? $13
million? Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
They're going to be able to get out of this after the second year if they want. And look, listen. If you look at the contracts that some defensive linemen got today and earlier, I mean, Miami gave Branch, who had been cut and bounced around, he got 3 years, 27, $15 million guaranteed. The guy for Carolina, I forget his name, people wanted him. He got what, 3 years, $21 million, $13 million guaranteed. So 4 years and $30 million is, I mean, to me, even if Andrew, even if Nick Fairley goes back and he doesn't have a career year and he ends up being an average, run-of-the-mill defensive tackle, 3.5 sacks, if you're paying him $7 million, that's fine because that's what an average defensive tackle gets paid now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to what I've said all along. I've said this numerous times, and for me, it was all about the Saints just – they couldn't afford to go backwards. I thought they were finally at a place where they were improving.
Yeah.
Fairley was by far, in my opinion, one of the better players on what was still a pretty mediocre defense, if not bad. And so they weren't in a position to where they could go backwards. And losing Fairley absolutely would have left a hole on this defense that would have needed to be replaced. Now, I mean, look, there's still some holes on this roster, but I feel so good about defensive tackle. When you look at the depth they have with Fairley and Rankins as starters, I mean, Davison's a guy that became a starter last year. That's a good young player. And then, you know, Onyemata is kind of like a sub guy they have that has promise that they like, that's developing. So I feel like defensive tackle, I mean, if there's one spot, I would say depth and quality is really good. I mean, they've got a four-man rotation where they can shuffle guys in and out. And when you're able to shuffle guys, it means less injuries because you're putting less of a snap load on guys like Fairley, guys like Rankin, so they're fresher. And if they do get an injury, they can sustain it. They can absorb it because they have guys that can fill in.
Dave, while Carolina was being ridiculous and giving Khalil from Minnesota $55 million, they were giving $55 million to a player that Vikings fans were like, thank God he's leaving. While Carolina was busy doing that, the Saints were busy signing A.J. Klein to a, 3 years, $15 million deal or something. Your thoughts on him, are you sort of okay with what they have at linebacker now with Klein, or do you feel they need to do more?
Well, don't forget Manti Te'o's coming in for a visit.
Oh, and his fake girlfriend.
Well, hopefully.
Look, to be honest with you, I don't really know that much about Klein. I wouldn't say that simply adding him makes me totally comfortable with the linebackers. I'm glad they went and got a linebacker. I think it was definitely one of the bigger needs on defense. I still think that they need to add a whole bunch more, and I'm pretty sure that they plan on doing that.
My tweet capacity is now going to drop by 35%, Andrew, because 35% of my tweets was go sign a goddamn guard. And it's been like that for 2 years.
Yeah, and what are we going to complain about?
What are we going to complain about? And the thing is, like, we were pumped because Zietler, I would argue, he's the best free agent there was to get. Like, he was that good at guard. But give credit to Mickey Loomis. Last year they went after Boone and they didn't get him, and they had some guards they liked in the draft. They weren't there in the second round, so the Saints didn't draft a guard. They were not fucking around at guard. Because what was it? You tweeted me, like, that Zietler signed with the Browns, and then, what, like, 15 minutes later, they had signed Warford?
Yeah.
From Detroit? So,
yeah.
I mean, they weren't fucking around.
This was similar to the Ben Grubbs thing where, in that case, it was Carl Nix, who was Zietler. They basically offered Carl Nix an enormous contract. Nix was down to the Bucks and the Saints, and Nix decided to go to the Bucks for their, at the time, the richest contract for a guard in NFL history. And so the next guy in free agency down the list, basically the next best qualified guard was Ben Grubbs, and the Saints said, all right, Grubbs, we're offering you the contract we just offered for Nix, and they ended up signing him. So I think it was like that. I think the Saints basically lost out on Zietler and immediately said, all right, who's the next guard, next best guy on our list? It's Warford. He's the next best available.
What was his numbers? I didn't see his contract numbers.
They haven't announced it yet. I mean, my guess is it's going to be somewhere between $8 and $9 million a year.
Clearly he's much younger than Jari Evans. I think he was the third rated guard.
He was 25.
Yeah, he was the third rated guard. AJ Lang for Green Bay was ahead of him, but Lang is injured, has injury issues. But Warford sort of declined. He was great his first year in Detroit, and then sort of the last 3 years is sort of underachieved. But apparently he's awesome at screens, which is good.
I will say with Warford, he's always been kind of a road grader in the run game, and I do think the Lions have gotten so pass happy. It's more egregious than the Saints in terms of how much they throw. And I think that's stretched him out a little bit. And I think that's the reason a little bit for his drop off. And I think he'll come to the Saints. I mean, he's certainly used to the high volume passing with Matt Stafford. So I think he'll come into the Saints offense. But I think if anything, it'll be nice for him to come into an offense with an established running game, with an established back like Ingram, where he can actually make a bigger dent in the run game.
Dave, is
Because, I mean, the Lions really, they really and truly throw every play.
They do. Their run game was just, their run game was awful. I mean, but, I mean, today, I mean, it was phenomenal today. Was there anything?
I don't think today was like that amazing. I mean, it was
fun.
You know, they made some decent
moves. But when's the last time, Dave, on the first day of free agency that they signed four dudes on the first day? You know, normally it's like, you know, the first day happens and then the Saints wait for the maybe they get one dude. And then they wait for the market to settle for a few days, and then they add some guys.
Yeah, I guess
like,
that's true. It's amazing what you can do when you've got money to actually spend.
Yeah. Last time I remember the signs.
And guys like Klein and Ginn are. Yeah, and guys like Klein and Ginn are normally guys that are signed in day four, or day five.
Yeah. So they really hit, got targeted the guys they wanted and did a great job. I mean, the Brandon Cooks thing is still sort of lingering. I feel like Dave, the market's kind of shutting on the Saints because Philadelphia got Alshon Jeffrey, you know, so that closes off them. So I feel like it's really kind of down to Tennessee and New England. The interesting thing with New England though today is, you know, we were talking about the 30. They said the 32nd pick wasn't enough, but today it was like straight up for Brandon Cooks for Malcolm Butler. And there's a really, like, on Twitter, the opinion for that, Dave, was all over the fucking place. Like, some people were like, what is New England doing? And then other people were like, that's a huge win for New England. Butler's not that good. He's a system guy. Like, it's all over the place. What is your feeling on that? If that costs.
I mean, I think if you're talking about a one-to-one swap, I think the Saints would be foolish. I don't think that's an even trade. Can certainly use a guy like Malcolm Butler, but I don't know. I'm really not being a homer here. I'm trying not to be a homer, but I mean, I just think Brandon Cooks is way more valuable than Malcolm Butler. So I think a 1-to-1 trade would the Patriots. I think to even things out, they'd also have to
give something. Andrew,
yeah, I mean, I kind of disagree.
You're fine.
I think. Well, I wouldn't do it straight. I mean, there's a contract component at play, and that's that. Currently, Malcolm Butler is tendered as a restricted free agent, so he's on a 1-year tender. If he doesn't sign that, then I don't really think the Saints want him for a 1-year contract on a restricted free agent tender. So. I think they want him on a long-term deal if they make this trade. And so then they'd have more security, but he would cost a lot more.
He's, you know, I mean, $65 million, $40 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the deal that someone like that would get. And so you look at Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's going to have his rookie deal this year. He's going to have the option deal next year. And then
a franchise.
You know, whether he would be franchised or re-signed or whatever. That's another year down the road. So when you look at that's a component you have to factor in. And that's why I agree that you'd like to ideally get a pick back now. You know, I've seen some people out there saying the 32nd pick and Butler, for Cooks. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's completely unrealistic. We're not going to get a first and Butler. You know, maybe we get a third back, you know.
Well, you know what I could see though? I could see the Saints getting Brandon Cooks and number 32 and New England saying, look, we'll give you our first-round pick, but you got to flip picks in the second round because that pushes them from 32 up to, what would it be, 40. It would push them from 64 to 42.
Like that,
so
sure,
I could see something like that, and the Saints think the Saints will be like, it's a win because we get the extra first round pick, even though it's late. You can still get a guy if you know what you're doing. But I guess the question is, Andrew, I want to get back to it a little because at first I was like, Jay Klein, whatever, he's nothing. But then the more I read about him, he's really fast. He seems like he can cover. I guess my question is he a better quality linebacker potentially than Robertson. Because Robertson from the Browns, people knocked it. Yeah, people knocked it, and it worked out pretty well. Is he even a better quality linebacker than, say, Craig Robertson?
Well, I think it's in the same ballpark. I think, you know, Klein had to start some games due to injury. But, you know, he's really been a backup. And, you know, the thing about him is he's been living in Luke Kuechly's shadow, you know, for the last 4 years as a backup for Carolina. And I think in some ways, you know, Robertson started towards the end for the Browns, but I think he was viewed more as a backup, a quality backup and special teamer. And that's what Klein was in Carolina. And he was a captain on special teams and a very good player. But, you know, he was kind of thrust into a role of playing a lot more on the defensive side of the ball with Kuechly's injuries and everything. And he played really well. So I envision a scenario where Klein and Robertson are on the field together. You know, who knows how healthy Ellerby is going to be. So now you've got Klein, and then you can move Robertson back to Will. And listen, I haven't fully given up on Anthony. I think it's one of those things where you let Klein and Anthony battle it out for middle linebacker. My expectation is that Klein will win that battle. But, you know, if Anthony can bounce back and become the middle linebacker, then Klein is still a great backup that can come in certain situations. They can play special teams. So he still has value to the team, even if he's not starting. And then if Anthony sucks, then Klein's a starter, and you're glad you signed him.
Well, and yeah, and the thing is, I saw somebody today say Klein looked better. Klein looked pretty good because Carolina has a really good defensive line, and the Saints don't have that. Well, I would argue, you know what? The Saints might have a pretty good defensive line if they can
they're
get
the 11th pick away from.
If they get, say, they got Chris Long in a veteran free agent, or even Barwin, who I know people knock him, but I like Barwin for the Eagles. If you had Barwin and Barnett at end, and then you had the defensive tackle, what you just talked about, Fairley and Rankins and Onyemata and Davison, and then Cam Jordan, that's a pretty damn good front four you can have there. And then suddenly your linebackers are free, and they're going to look better, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you might have a guy where Klein, he might be a guy you got on a discount, and he's a plus player, and he's a Shanley Fujita type guy where if you've got good people around him, he can be more than good enough, you know, because you can't have Pro Bowlers everywhere.
Yeah, but it's depth too. I mean, I think you look at the Saints linebackers right now, and we don't know how it shakes out. You've got Ellerby, you've got Robertson, you've got Klein. I mean, in the pecking order, you would say, okay, those three are probably the upper echelon. And then below them, you've got Michael Motti, you've got Nate Stupar, you've got Stephon Anthony, and you're not exactly sure how. I mean, these are all capable guys I just named, and I think we know how it plays out. But you know, we don't know if Stupar kind of surprises again. And you know, Shanley was a guy who we always kind of had him penciled in as maybe not being a starter this year, and he continued to surprise. So if Stupar's in the mix, does Anthony have a revival? You know, and Ellerby and Robertson, I think, are going to battle it out at Will. So. When you look at all that, I mean, who knows how it plays out? But the point is, you're now six deep at linebacker.
You don't know where the knife wounds are going to come for injuries. You know, last year was a corner. Last year was a corner. It might be at linebacker. Hey, we just talked about how awesome the defensive line could be, but it's still sort of Cam Jordan is the son of it. You know, and if he goes down, what do you have? You know, so I mean, you just need to build this roster with depth. And I like what they did. And, you know, I think for the Saints, there's still some good guys out. I tell you, you know, we joked about it, me and Kevin, on Monday, because it worked out for us. Zach Brown, the jokes would be phenomenal, but he didn't sign today. And he's a guy, if his price comes down, Andrew, he's a guy that I like. You know, I didn't like Nick Perry at $60 million, but I like Zach Brown at $5 million. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so there's a lot of good guys.
And Klein's deal is basically 3 years, $15 million. I mean, it's very similar to what they got these other linebackers for. So they can hit the eject button if it doesn't work out. And for a guy that's 25 years old, I think it's a great deal, good value. So I'm feeling good about it. And, you know, again, like you said, you don't know where the injuries are going to hit you. And I just feel like a defensive tackle and linebacker today, the Saints have set themselves up to absorb those. You know, one other note I'm going to make is, you know, you look in these last 24 hours, they really surprised me by giving Chris Banjo a two-year, $2.8 million deal.
Oh, and Twitter Saints Twitter was freaking
out.
Yeah,
they melted down. And, you know, it's a little bit more money than – I mean, it's in this cap, it's nothing. But I was a little surprised to see him get more than the minimum and get a two-year commitment. But you saw them do that. You saw them bring back Shiloh Keough. You saw them get Klein, who is a good special teamer. And even if he ends up starting and not playing special teams, it kind of secures maybe Robertson, definitely Stupar, to commit to their roles on special teams.
Yeah.
And they do again today, who's a great returner. So to me, in the first 24 hours of free agency, I mean, we'll talk about Warford, who is the big deal, and the Cooks trade, which is impending, which is that those are obviously the big ticket things, and re-signing Fairley's big ticket. But I think it's really important to look at the last 24 hours, and the clear message the Saints sent in my eyes is special teams cost us 3 to 4 games last year,
and
that's
not
that is not happening in 2017.
Yeah, and here's the thing:
we are spending money to avoid it.
Andrew, how many Sunday mornings did me and you and Nick Underhill argue with people about special teams? And they said, we don't care. We want guys that do multiple things. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of resources, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really matter. And we argue with them. And look, today proves we were right. It matters. The Saints I think today showed they've taken it more serious than they've ever taken it besides
they not only signed all these guys. You have to remember, halfway through last season, they added additional money onto their coaching staff to get an extra coach.
Yeah, so I love it. I mean, I just think, you know, the Saints, their offense is great, but imagine if they could start past the 30 on kickoffs.
Yeah,
you know? And get a 15-yard, 20-yard punt return once every other week. Like, imagine how unbelievably fantastic it would be.
And not have to kick for a touchback to ensure that the other team doesn't start past the 40.
Exactly. The thing that's, you know, and Dave had to bail. We thank him for his time that he could give us. The thing that's really interesting about the Malcolm Butler thing with the Patriots, Andrew, is I have this fear that Bill Belichick's just smarter than everyone, and if he doesn't want Malcolm Butler, I don't know if I want him. You know? And they signed Gilmore today. Why did they give Gilmore $65 million, but they didn't want to give Butler $65? You know, like those things, maybe it's irrational, but that's how
I think it's important to remember that it hasn't come time to pay Butler. And I say that because he's hit his first year of restricted free agency, and all you have to do when you hit that point is tender them, and they tendered him at the first round level to make sure they didn't lose him. So, you know, people say, well, why didn't he get a big long-term deal? Well, he's not a free agent. That's when you get –
he couldn't come.
He has not hit the point in his career that he gets a long-term deal. And so – they were never thrust into that. And so,
yeah, and they said they were close,
I think they couldn't get it done. Yeah. So I think, well, but his agent came out and said, we haven't talked contract with the Patriots in over a year.
Yeah.
So I think it has a lot more to do with that. And it's not that they want to get rid of, I understand the reasons for being scared and all this stuff, but I think at the end of the day, they're losing Logan Ryan. They may trade Butler because they love Cooks. I think this is less about them not wanting Butler and more about like Belichick is in love with Brandon Cooks. And so I think as they were preparing to try to make this trade happen, they were like, well, we just lost Logan Ryan. If we're going to try to get Brandon Cooks, we may have to give up Butler. So we better go out and get ourselves a corner.
Yeah, and this New England does – the way they manage their cap, they don't pay you early unless you take their deal. they're even more extreme than Loomis in that sense, you know? So they may have talked deal with Malcolm Butler, but they were like, hey, Malcolm Butler, do you want to sign 2 years early? We're only going to give you $25 million guaranteed. And he's like, no, I want 40. And they're like, well, if you want 40, you're going to have to wait 2 years, you know? So there, that's the sense there. But are you okay with – you're okay with straight up Cooks for Butler?
Well, again, I think you know, the main thing is the contract. And once you factor that in, no. I mean, I think if you take the contract out of the equation,
yes.
You know, if you're asking me, you know, the quality of the players, I think Butler is established as a number one corner in the league. I think Cooks is established as maybe a 1A receiver in the league. I mean, I don't think a team picks up Brandon Cooks and says, this is our number one receiver. You know, without, you know, I mean, I don't think people would say that about Deshaun Jackson,
Well,
and I think right now Cooks is at Deshaun Jackson level. Deshaun Jackson is a terrific playmaker, respected throughout the league. I mean, I think Cooks in 3 years has already hit that level, and he can certainly get better. But I think Cooks is a 1A receiver right now, and Malcolm Butler is a bona fide number one corner that covers the best receiver on every team he faces and does well doing it. So you can talk about system guy. I mean, the system we're talking about here is a Super Bowl champion, the best team of the last 20 years. So if he's a system guy for the best system that's ever existed in football, I don't really have a problem with that.
Well, here's my thing with the national media, they're like, he can't really make a difference. They're like, he won't make much of a difference for the Saints because their defense isn't as good. I'm like, have you seen the Saints corners? Good God, man. He will make a huge difference. The interesting thing about this trade, though, Andrew, is I think this is a critical moment for Loomis and Peyton because, you know, we can argue about the Jimmy Graham game. Look, I argue with you. I argue on Twitter. You know, but here's the thing that I think swings the Jimmy Graham trade in the sense that people think it's better for the Saints than it really is. Jimmy Graham wasn't out in Seattle killing it, you know? Like, even when he was healthy, like, Seattle never could quite figure out how to make him what he was with Sean Payton, right?
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt the Patriots will make him a star.
Brandon Cooks, he is the prototypical little white dude receiver that overachieves. He's that mold, except he's got super athletic skills. He will kill it in New England. He'll have 100 catches, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, and that's his floor in New England. So if the Saints do this deal, Andrew, let me tell you something. Butler better kick lots of ass because I know Cooks is going to kick lots of ass in New England.
Yeah,
I agree. So you won't have that thing of – well, you know, the Saints might have whiffed on Anthony, but Jimmy Graham, he got injured. He wasn't really doing that well anyway. And people could say, well, Unger did pretty well. Our line's a lot better, we think. So you can kind of talk yourself into it. Man, if Butler is struggling and Brandon Cooks is putting up 100 catches, 1,200 yards, and 10 scores, people are going to be like, what the fuck did you do? You know?
Yeah.
So this,
yeah.
I think this trade.
I think it's important to remember. You know, once again, I think there's a few factors at play here. Number one, Cooks isn't coming back to the Saints. I mean, after these next 2 years, he's out. He's unhappy in the offense. He's already voiced that. I think a problem in the locker room is starting to marinate. And if you keep him and you let him stay, it's only going to get worse. Now, I still would like to believe that Cooks is a professional and that he's going to behave correctly if he's forced to stay. But as time goes on, if these feelings continue down this path, it could get worse. Yeah. And so I don't think he would come back. That's number one. Number two, I mean, I'm not going to even list the number of key playmakers the Saints offense has lost and not missed a beat with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. If they unload Cooks, I believe that they will find another receiver. I mean, they've already got Snead. They've already got Mike Thomas. Now you add Ted Ginn. I believe that they will be just fine without Cooks. This offense will find a way. The offensive line just got better, which means their running game will get better. So I still think this offense won't miss a beat, even if Brandon Cooks isn't in it. This team is way more desperate, in my opinion. I think if you were to ask me, you can get a top-notch corner, or you can keep an elite receiver. This team is way too balanced towards offense, and I think they need a defensive player. So to me, you know, they need this guy. They need Butler. They need
the thing is, look, Ted Ginn can give them the vertical threat. They could draft another receiver. They can find receivers. And you know what? Look, everybody says Kobe Fleener was a bust last year and whatever. You know, he'll get some of those throws. He could get bumped up to 65, 70 catches, and yeah, he'll still have the drops that'll drive us nuts. But I don't think, as long as the line is healthy, as long as Breeze is playing, they're going to be fine on offense. The thing is, when you give up these assets, Andrew, they got to hit. Just because you can trade an asset away and still be okay on offense doesn't mean when you trade that asset away and the stuff you get back doesn't help you. Like, eventually you run out of chances because you run out of assets on offense.
Well, I agree with you. I think so. I mean, there's two things about this Cooks trade if it happens. Number one, I think it exacerbates the importance of getting that satellite back, because they try to get Cooks to do some of that stuff, the Sproles stuff. We're talking about jet sweeps, mm-hmm. bubble screens, reverses, stuff like that. He was never any good at it. And, you know, I don't really feel like Cooks ever really materialized in that role. You know, they get a guy like McCaffrey in the draft. I mean, he's the prototype. But I think if Cooks is gone, you really need a guy to fill that role. I think Ginn will
Cook from Florida State.
Ginn will take care of the field stretching, but he can't do that stuff. So they need to find someone that can. So I would say that the other thing, I mean, I think the working assumption here has got to be that Swan is going to be hurt, PJ Williams is going to be hurt, Delvin Bro is going to be hurt, like. Their corners are going to drop like flies. They have for the last decade, and for whatever reason, that position in New Orleans, they drop like flies. And now you've got a bunch of guys, like all your top corners have injury history. So I'm not comfortable like getting Malcolm Butler and just assuming, hey, we got a number one guy now. We good at that position. We're not good at that position because we don't have enough bodies. So I don't care if it's bring Sterling Moore back. I don't care if it's draft three cornerbacks. I don't care if it's – maybe it's just get Butler and another guy that's cheaper in free agency. But get Butler
and Logan Ryan and just have this Patriots secondary.
I mean, obviously, that's not going to happen. But they need to stockpile is my point at that position. They can't just trade for Butler and assume that corner's
fine. Well, if you get Butler, Sterling Moore, PJ Williams, Bro – that would give you four, and then you have Kyle Wilson, right? That would be five.
Kyle Wilson's still on the team.
Yeah, Swan gives you six. You could draft one. That would give you seven. And
you can
even –
Ken Crawley.
I mean, you can bring in – and then maybe you can even sign a veteran flyer if the market collapses. So, I mean, you could do that. The interesting thing to me is do the Saints – you know, because to me, Andrew – they did everything fantastic today, and as Eric Nola Flint says, look, today was perfect. They signed need players without spending over $10 million a year for anyone. My thing is, do they have another bullet in them in a sense of Loomis will look at the market and say, oh, that guy, I'm not going to say a name because I don't know who it would be, but oh wow, that's a guy who we had pegged at $11 million, but he's at $7 million. We weren't planning on signing that position or that guy, but he's there. You know, do you think that could happen? Because I think they're sort of like maybe like under budget. Does that make sense after today?
Yeah, you mean in free agency?
Yeah, I mean in free agency.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, Logan Ryan's kind of the one big name that didn't drop today. I was surprised by that. You know, so I mean, if this thing doesn't work out with Malcolm Butler, I wonder if they would come back to him. You know, I mean, there's a couple other corners. You got Prince of Mukamura. You got Morris Claiborne. So you've got a couple corners that are out there. But yeah, you mean you got Drake Kirkpatrick. So I think.
No, he re-signed with Cincy.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's official?
Yeah, that was official.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, I know they're looking at Manti Te'o.
You know, this is a question from Balky. Should we warn Manti Te'o about the ladies who may not be ladies that can be found down on Burbage? Come on, Balky. Manti Te'o, he's a two-down linebacker, though, right? I mean,
he's a good player. I talked to one of my buddies that's a Chargers fan. He's one of the most pessimistic friends I have. So when I asked him about Te'o, I immediately assumed that he was going to tell me he's terrible. But he actually told me, no, he's really good. He's just never healthy. But when he plays, he's good. So sounded like another Ellerby. So he'd fit in perfectly.
Go ahead.
I would keep an eye on Elvis Dumervil. You know, just seeing what the market looks like for
Chris
him.
Chris Long. I'd rather
mention Connor Barwin as well.
I like Connor Barwin a lot. He's a 5-sack guy. He's a hippie, which is always fun. So I just think, look, and I'm not saying you want Connor Barwin or whoever they would sign, or Dumervil or Chris Long, you have to pair them with a number one pick pass rusher, you know? But I think Chris Long is like your veteran, let's play him in a role, you know, a certain number of snaps, maybe not start. I think you can get much better than you got out of Kruger than him. But, you know, but here's a question from Sean. What free agent are you most worried about signing with one of our NFC South rivals? Well, I can tell you, I don't know what the fuck Carolina was doing today. I mean, seriously, signing Khalil at left tackle from Minnesota, and Minnesota didn't even attempt it, and they gave him Minnesota didn't even attempt to keep him, and they gave him $55 million. Like, you know, And Deshaun Jackson, who I called on the Monday podcast, Andrew, yay for me. Is there anybody that you signed in the South that signed that you were really interested?
I mean, Terrell Pryor is still out there. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be psyched if the Falcons got him, you know. Mm. But no, I mean, I'm just looking at the free agent names out there. I mean, there's no one that at this point, you know, kind of all the heavy hitters are gone. So I think at this point, I mean, Logan Ryan's really the best one left.
Yeah. Chris asks, if the Saints get Butler, can they afford to keep he and Bro? Listen, Bro was a nice story 2 years ago, but he hadn't really been healthy his 2 years in New Orleans. And he is a guy, he's a nice nickel corner. Or a nice third corner. But let's slow down on Bro being elite. I know PFF said 2 years ago all that stuff. He's a really nice little corner. But he ain't going to be a $12, $14 million corner. He's just not. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good Bro's... I don't think we can assume Bro's going to be any good this year. I mean, let's remember how fast of a decline it was for Keenan Lewis after that knee. And he's done. He's finished. He's not even in the league. So, you know, I think Bro, you know, as fun as it was 2 years ago, you know, last year he broke his leg. He came back from his broken leg and then he got some other injury that finished him off for the year. So you're talking about a guy who, you know, with a broken leg, I mean, we saw what it did to Kenny Vaccaro in year two. Different injury, but at the same time, I mean, you can't assume he's just going to bounce back and be fine. You know, Bro, when he came back from his broken leg, he had clearly lost speed. He was way more handsy and physical because he felt like he had to grab, and so he was getting flagged a lot more. So, I mean, the guy has a neck surgery. I mean, he had a broken spine or broken neck. So, I mean, he's got an extensive injury history. I'd say he's a bigger risk than your average corner. I just don't think the Saints can count on Bro to be. I mean, I think it's got to, the mentality has to be that it's Lanyap. If Bro comes in this year, plays well, and reestablishes himself as a number one or a top corner, to me that would be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
the Saints can't go into the season counting.
The more I think about it, they've got to re-sign Sterling Moore. Hopefully that the veteran market for corners collapses and Saints can get a good deal for him. They got to re-sign him. They got to go get Malcolm Butler, and they got to draft a corner.
Yeah,
you know, look. The worst case scenario is you're like, damn, all these corners are healthy. What are we going to do with them? But, like, that's a problem that the Saints never have because they're going to get leprosy and a couple of them are going to die. And, you know, you just got to work with what you got. To look on the downside, which new free agent will be most – which free agent is most likely to be disappointing that they sign today?
Oh, it's got to be Ted Ginn. He's 31 – I think he could easily, I'm just picturing 4 weeks into the season, he has two god awful drops on deep balls and one of them cost the Saints a game and he fumbles a punt and you know, Sean Payton has a quick trigger with making
a change.
They don't have Jarris Bird
anymore to fair catch everything either.
Yeah. So I could see Ginn being a disaster.
Yeah. But I don't think they probably paid Ginn much. But I mean, and look, even if it doesn't work out, they made an attempt on the first day to get better at kick return, and that's all you can, you know, that's all you can ask. Should the Saints take the number 18 pick for Cooks? Is that a good deal?
Sorry, say again.
Should the Saints take the number 18 pick for Cooks? Is that a good deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. At 18, are you going to get a player as impactful as Malcolm Butler? That's the question.
Well, here's a poll question I asked, and it was 60. It ended up 55-45, I think, for one of the scenarios. I said, look, dream scenario for Loomis: Tennessee offers you 5 and 18 for Cooks and number 11, or New mm-hmm. England offers you Butler and 32 for Cooks.
To me, that's easy. It's Butler and 32. Yeah, because you're getting two assets for Cooks.
And you know one of them's rock solid. Whereas yep. 5 and 18, they're right. They're nice. They're potential. They're shiny because they're unused. And nothing is as glorious as an unused top 10 draft pick, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know
even,
what you're gonna...
Or even just an unused first-round pick in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know, and you're giving up two assets to get those. So I think it's just, you know, the return is maybe, you know, maybe Malcolm Butler won't be as productive as a top five pick, and maybe the 32nd pick won't be as good as the 18th pick, but at least you're not giving up 11.
You know, and I joked about it in my Channel 4 column. We joked about it all offseason. This is the year of the YOLO.
Yep.
Do you feel like they went YOLO today? I feel like they went really
hard.
I thought
it was actually kind of not as YOLO and more just smart.
I don't know, man. If Zietler would have took Tom Benson's money instead, I feel like they wanted to go YOLO. It didn't work out with Zietler, so they did a lot of smart stuff. But I still think they're itching to go YOLO. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like, to me, and I think you've said this a couple of times before, you know, you look at team like Cincinnati. They've been close, banging on the door, hadn't won a playoff game. They let 2/5 of their offensive line walk out the fucking door today. You know?
Yeah.
And you can say whatever you want about old man Benson, but I guarantee you that wouldn't happen with the Saints. They wouldn't let that happen. And
zero chance.
You know, and Tom Benson, he will spend money. Now, look, I don't know how close it was with either. Maybe the Saints were only offering him $25 million guaranteed or whatever, you know. So I don't know how close it was. But the thing that I know is it was down between the Saints and the Browns. And that's a good sign. You know, I don't think Benson tells them no on anything they want. You know, it's just they have to make the right moves. And I think as a fan, Andrew, that makes me really excited. You look at teams like Cincinnati today, or I'm trying to think of other teams that didn't do a lot of moves. Kansas City, they went to the playoffs, so that's not really. But, I mean, they have a bunch of teams that don't really spend, you know. And then you have teams like Jacksonville. They spend and spend and spend and never win shit. So, and Cleveland. Oh, we got to talk about that Cleveland trade. I know it's not a Saints thing, but that was big news in Houston. Andrew, Cleveland, for people that don't know, Cleveland basically went to the Texans and was like, hey, you want to get rid of Brock Osweiler? We'll take him off your books. We want your second-round pick. And Houston did it. Cleveland basically paid $16 million for an extra second-round pick.
And people will say, like, well, that a second round pick isn't worth $17 million. That's ridiculous. But what you have to understand is the Browns have, what do they have, $100 million in cap room? They're not going to, it is literally, unless they were so reckless with their contracts, giving guys like Cordarrelle Patterson 1 year, $11 million deals and doing stuff like that, like, seven times, unless they were so idiotic with their free agency that they were just reckless to spend it all, it's impossible to spend $100 million. I mean, unless every top flight guy was going to sign with you, but obviously they're the Browns, that's not going to happen. So they're going to have a bunch of room, and you have to spend a minimum of, what is it, Ralph?
85%
of your cap you have to spend. And so it's going to be hard just with the way the cap worked out for them this year to spend all that money. And so, the way they can do it is basically this is a way for them to kind of spend some money that they have to, and they get a free second round pick out of it. And it does, Osweiler can either sit on the bench for them or they can just release him and take the dead money. They can do whatever they want. It doesn't mean that Osweiler's in the plans for them at quarterback, but given their cap situation, they used it to their advantage to get a second round pick for free.
Yeah, I mean, and people were like, "What?" But I mean, Tony Romo's going to go.
I think it's a genius move for the Browns.
I think it is. I think, listen, Cleveland.
And I think it proves. I mean, listen, the Texans, they might get a little cap flexibility, and
they got decimated today, man. They lost three corners today.
Yeah, you might say, hey, you know, they got Osweiler off the books and away from the team, and so maybe that's a win. But how bad does that make them look that they invested all that money in him?
1 year.
To only play 1 year, and then they had to give up a second-round pick to get him out the door.
I mean, at least the Saints just cut Jarris Byrd, right? After 3 years, you know?
Yeah, they didn't have to pay someone
Or Brandon Browner, you know? They're just like, bye-bye. Yeah. You know? They didn't have to give somebody a pick to get rid of them. But, I mean,
way more embarrassing for the Texans,
you know,
in my opinion.
And again, thanks to everybody who donated. This is what you wanted. We give you an extra podcast every month. It'll be harder to do in the summer, but we'll figure something out. I would say, Andrew, people were super excited about this offseason because of the cap space, because of different things. And look, that's not just me talking. If you look at our podcast rankings, people, the last 3 weeks, you've been listening to this podcast more than you listened to it during the season. You know? I mean, like, so people are pumped. I would say today, Andrew, even ramped it up even more. I would say people haven't been this excited about the Saints since 2014, 2011. I mean, they're
I got to say, I'm relieved, Ralph, because I was getting a little nervous after the Brandon Coleman and the Banjo re-signings, and people were kind of melting down on Twitter over that.
They were.
And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? These are camp bodies. I mean, they can be cut, and the investment is the minimum. Like, they can be cut in training camp if they're not any good. And I just feel like the way fans were reacting, I was like, God. And I really feel like sometimes it's like everyone wants an elite corner, and then you sign one and people are unhappy about how much it costs. And it's like, well, which one do you want? So I'm happy to see that for the most part on Twitter, the morale of the fan base right now is pointing up and people are liking the Saints moves, because listen, you in this day and era with this salary cap, to land anything you have to spend.
It was just 2 years ago, right? They got Brandon Browner and they gave him 3 years, $15 million to be the number two corner. Today, they gave Klein basically the same contract, and he may be a borderline starter special teams guy. I mean, that's just what it is. And I mean, to be honest, teams, if Loomis has taught us nothing, Andrew, teams can do whatever the fuck they want within the confines of the cap, almost. I mean, you can get kind of tied up in knots where the Saints have been not able to go crazy the last couple of years, but they still did a bunch of stuff, you know? So don't give a – it's not our money. Who gives a shit what they pay Nick Farley? I want the Saints to win on Sunday, and I don't really care. And the fact of the matter is the Drew Brees clock is ticking, and I know all these people, Bill Barnwell and all these people, they have their analytics, and they tell me free agency doesn't work. But you know what, Andrew? They may be right over the long haul that free agency doesn't work, but the Saints built a goddamn Super Bowl winner off of free agency. You know, they did it on one draft. They signed Drew Brees, and they got a bunch of free agents. That's how they won their Super Bowl. And the Saints ain't changing. So I say keep rolling them dice. So thanks to everybody. If I said we're gonna do a podcast on Monday, if I said Andrew, the Saints can do one more move before Monday, what do you want them to do? And then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, they filled a lot of needs. I mean, the guard addition is huge. I mean, I'm kind of giving up on pass rusher until the draft.
No, that wasn't happening. And listen,
maybe they take a flyer on a aging pass rusher that's out there, like a Chris Long. But if there's one move, I mean, I don't really care how they do it. But my goal would be to get a corner, and whether that's Logan Ryan in free agency, whether that's trading for Malcolm Butler. I'll say if there's one move, get whatever high return deal you're going to get for Cooks done. Mm-hmm. So whether that's getting a couple picks, or getting a pick and a player, or getting Malcolm Butler, whatever it is, that would be what I would like to see happen by Monday. Just to get this over with and not have, I want to get the right return for Cooks. But I'd rather it happen sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, you got a plan. I mean, like, look, if the Malcolm Butler deal isn't going to go through, then you got to go
get your corner elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know who I would hope. I mean, he didn't sign. He just visited with Miami, but. And I don't want him to. I wouldn't want him to spend a ton of money on him. But I think if you told me, look, they can pair a veteran pass rusher with the draft pick, Jabal Sherrod from the Patriots.
Sheed.
It's S H E A R D. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So I
Sheard. Jabal Sheard.
Jabal Sheard. I like him, one, because I can butcher his name for the next 2 or 3 years.
But what did you say at first? Shahid?
Shahid. Jabal Shahid. Shahid.
Jesus.
I like him because I can butcher his name for a couple years. And Andrew, I think he can be a really good veteran defensive end. The problem is, I don't think the Saints are going to spend for him more than like six, seven million, you know?
And they shouldn't.
No, but I mean, like, if I could get him for the same contract I got Fairley, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
That sounds pricey to me.
I mean, that's the move that I hope they make. And Manti Te'o would be phenomenal for me and Kevin for jokes.
Yeah.
Which makes us terrible people, but whatever. So, for Dave, for Kevin, who's MIA, for Andrew, go to Saints Nation. Andrew will have all the updates tomorrow and throughout the rest of free agency. Thanks to everybody. You donated. You got your bonus cash. bonus cast. I hope you enjoyed it. Until Monday, the bar is closed.